I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us.
You're listening to 88.5 FM. This is WMNF, Tampa, St. Petersburg. Good afternoon. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Lori. It's a Monday. Every other Monday, we have the Sustainable Living Program, and John Butts is back in the studio. Hi, John. How are you?
Oh, real good, Rob. It's great to be back, and thanks to the listener supporters, volunteers, and staff here at WMNF Community Radio. This is a sustainable living show where we try to explore ways to live more sustainable lives with information and products that are presently available to everybody. And our special guest today is the creator of the Conscious Consumer Network and author of Apocalypse Near. Welcome, Eric. Eric Haas.
Thanks, John.
The big E.
Yeah.
Okay, Eric, you're trying to promote sustainable living to prevent, as you say, the destruction of our planet. When, why did you start on this venture?
Well, I grew up in nature, so I've always had this connection to the biosphere. And a few years ago, I had a near-death experience during which I saw the planet die of consumption. So that experience happened during a brain surgery for an aneurysm that burst. And I woke up and disconnected my life support, asked for my laptop, and began creating the website consciousconsumers.net. And that's all about just trying to focus the mass consumer base on the businesses and technologies that are moving in the directions of producing products that will align us with, you know, get us back into the loop of being connected to the natural resource base and realizing that that is the source of all our abstract wealth, all our currency. Without the natural resource base, there is none of that. And it takes a healthy functioning biosphere to produce not only all our, you know, wealth, our, what we, you know, our abstracted currency, but, you know, just to feed ourselves, to live, to breathe, you know, those basic, what I call unalterable rights of being human, you know, purity, pure oxygen, pure, you know, pure water, pure food. Without those, you know, we're dead. Pretty basic.
And, yeah. Could you go ahead and give us an introduction to your book, your new book?
Well, the book is kind of my right-brained attempt to do something about this. The website is very logical and left-brained. I just lay out all these articles about, you know, here's what you can do to, you know, raise your standard of living while also helping the planet, helping the U.S. economy, you know, and helping to make the United States a beacon of hope again instead of, like, the Death Star. You know, we want to lead through ingenuity, through building the better mousetrap. And, you know, consumers have a place in all of this. You can't just blame the government, blame corporations. You know, it's a supply and demand economy. You know, if we don't buy things that are destroying the planet, they won't be produced. And there's certain things we have control over doing that. Like, and then there's areas we don't. Like, you know, unfortunately, petroleum does fuel this country. But, you know, we got to reach people to realize that we're just loading bullets into the guns of our sworn enemies by buying all this foreign oil. We got to get back to putting all the eggheads in this, all our smartest, our best and brightest, and our finances behind developing these renewable, sustainable technologies to power ourselves.
So kind of lay out the plot in the book there.
So the book, you know, instead of working from that logical standpoint, you know, because that all makes sense. But if people listen to logic, then I think, you know, Al Gore's movie would have done more than win an Academy Award. You know, people would have been in the streets saying, yeah, we got to change. The planet's falling apart. So in the book, I created this scenario where the human neural network, our nervous system, is being invaded by this villain that I created that is made out of dark matter, powered by dark energy, and running this superior operating system. I'm saying the universe is not matter, it's information. And these creatures are made of information. They've invaded our nervous systems, and they are driving humanity to commit a form of mass suicide by having us consume our planet. Their goal is to remove humanity. They're these intergalactic surgeons removing the human cancer from the planet. But that's the dark side. That's just the conflict I put in the book to drive people to realize what we can do to stop this destruction from happening. Mm-hmm. And I kind of embody that in the equation E equals C squared. Environmentalism equals conscious consumption. Mm-hmm. So my hero in the book is trying to start this revolution. And I was actually trying to do this in real life when I was recovering from brain surgery. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, might be better to make a book and or movie about this so people won't think you're a madman. You know, starting a revolution, you know, it's not something you should go around telling people you're doing after you've had a major head wound.
I don't want to give away too much, but does the book have a good ending, bad ending? I mean, what would you say?
Well, the book actually may only be going on in the mind of the protagonist. I leave that for the audience to decipher. The book does have a positive, well, it's a trilogy, so part one of the book kind of leaves off on this cliffhanger. Okay. Where the hero does, you know, form this enlightenment on the planet, but he also steps into this new place where he realizes the interconnected nature of humanity with the biosphere, and that we're connected to this greater war in the collective consciousness. So it actually leaves in this cliffhanger of him beginning to fight the war on war. Mm-hmm. He declares war on war, which is something I did after I woke up from brain surgery as well. And once again, sounds a little nuts, but you know, if we've given up on, you know, trying to end war, then, you know, what are we doing here? Mm-hmm. It's horrible to think that there's kids my age halfway around the world right now pointing guns at each other, you know, and it's all just become so part of our everyday experience watching the news that we forget that's a horrible situation. And I think I'm just crazy enough to think we can end it.
Yeah, well, that's a great thought. And myself personally, I don't think we really need a military. And I've tried to look at it all different ways. And, you know, I had a little credibility being a Vietnam veteran that, you know, I understand what war is all about. And it's nothing. It's nothing to what we see and imagine and see on our TV sets. Now, you're also a screenwriter, which was that it was actually a play that you wrote. And then you wrote the book, correct?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Apocalypse Near was first a screenplay. I'm a filmmaker. I'm a trained filmmaker. That's mm-hmm. what I went to school for. And I tried to raise the money to shoot the screenplay for a year, and then I wrote it into a book just to get the story out there, because not everybody knows how to read a screenplay. The mechanics are a little difficult, not as pleasant, whereas anybody can pick up a book and have a good read.
Maybe some of the other projects you've worked on as a screenwriter?
I wrote a feature just out of college that actually got optioned by the Sci-Fi Channel. That was called Children of the Fire, and also environmentally themed. It took place just in the not-too-distant future when everybody was living in these shelled-off synthetic cities that were kind of like sealed shopping malls, and there was no vestige of the natural world left. A whole generation grew up not seeing a plant. But they had heard rumors that there was these bad land, that there were these dark lands where there was things growing, and the hero began having dreams, and they set out to find this place, and they actually reconnect with all these tribes of the past that have come back to life to bring back the natural world. Mm. That one didn't get made, but maybe after Apocalypse Near gets made, we'll go back to that.
Okay, sounds like Disney's kind of following you here with this new movie they have out. I'm not sure.
Oh, really?
Whatever it is. I didn't quite catch that. Terry Gross had something on that last week. You know, personally, I feel the whole idea of consuming things is one of the major impediments to sustainable living. And I, too, kind of promote products myself. But being the creator of the Conscious Consumer Network, I'm sure you're concerned about this, too. Tell us about your website.
Yeah, consumption has just, you know, gone mad. That cat's been unfortunately let out of the proverbial bag. So I'm trying to take baby steps in reaching people where they are, because, yeah, consumption is like the religion of this country. It's all about growing the GNP. you know, this kind of secular materialist culture, our cathedrals are shopping malls. You know, people Sunday, they're not in church, they're at the mall. So with the website, I'm trying to at least get people to consume consciously and realize that, you know, because consumption behaviors are constant, ongoing, everybody has got to, in society, buy something just to meet their basic needs. But because there are ongoing small shifts in those behaviors in the marketplace every day can cause exponential change. That's part of the E=C² equation that I break down on the website, you know. And I challenge people to argue with me on how that couldn't work.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe some callers out there would like to challenge you. Our number is 239-9663, and we can take emails here at the radio station. It's what, WMNF?
Yeah, you can just send an email to dj@wmnf.org. dj@wmnf.org. And we don't have any emails yet, so if you send one right now, you'll be the first one.
Okay. Some of the products that you try to promote, could you maybe talk about a few of them?
Well, I've got section on how to, you know, create a renewable energy house, you know, putting together a hybridized system of solar and wind. And it all, you know, it's based on where you live, what you can do as far as some of these technologies are concerned. Like, you know, the Great Plains are going to be your best area for wind production. Mm-hmm. But even there's some areas around Florida, if you're living, you know, near the water on the bay where you've got a pretty steady wind, and you could be using a wind turbine to produce hydrogen for a home hybrid system, which do exist. Mm-hmm. Now, there's a lot of reasons we can't drive hydrogen cars right now, although Honda's currently delivering them to the U.S., to California at this moment. There's some issues with, you know, hydrogen being an explosive gas, Hindenburg. But for a home, you know, running a home on a fuel cell is a doable thing right now. Everybody could be doing it. Producing hydrogen is an issue, but that's where if we focus, you know, if big business focuses on solving that problem, because every leaf on every tree is a tiny hydrogen electrolyzer. It splits off hydrogen from oxygen. You know, that's how we breathe, people. Oxygen comes off plants. And if we just backwards engineer what nature's already doing, we can solve these problems. That's where our tax dollars should be going. And then we'll corner these markets in the world by reselling that technology to the rest of the world. Like GE did it with wind turbines. They put their eggheads on, you know, producing the most efficient wind turbines out there, and now they're selling that technology all over the world, and they're laughing all the way to the bank. Mm-hmm. And good for them, because they have a terrible environmental record up until that point.
They've been pretty heinous so far.
Yeah, I'm a New Yorker. I grew up, you know, watching them pollute the Hudson.
Mm-hmm. You know, I see all these condominiums right on the you know, like on our beautiful coastlines, and I'm thinking, you know, every one of them, if they're there, they should have a wind turbine on the top of them, because that's where the wind is. Most of the wind is right on our coastal areas.
But, yeah, I wrote a letter to our former governor Bush about, hey, let's make this Sunshine State thing more than a slogan. You know, how come all our government buildings don't have solar panels on top? You could be teaching the public about these technologies and really put something into that slogan we use about our state.
Yeah, the Sunshine State.
Because, you know, it's hot out there right now. I was fighting the sun all the way over here.
Mm-hmm. Well, where maybe some of, you know, like you kind of go into some of the other products that are on there. And, I, you know, like, kind of interesting website for sure. And what is that website?
www.consciousconsumers.net. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Very good. So what are maybe some of the other products that you are promoting them?
Well, I try to talk about organic gardening. You know, when you shop, try to buy organic, because that's not only the best choice for you on a health basis, you know, eating, you know, fruits and vegetables grown without, you know, pesticides and other, you know, chemical fertilizers and whatnot. But organic gardening also is what's best for our soil. And, you know, as our soils are continually depleted in this country, you know, we have fruit and vegetables that look great on the shelves, but you look at the continent, you know, that tomato, that pepper, those green beans are not the same content nutritionally as yesteryear, because we're growing these things in chemically fertilized soils that are largely depleted of minerals. And your body manufactures vitamins and runs first on minerals.
Mm-hmm. And I know a lot of this stuff really, it looks good, but it doesn't really taste that good.
It doesn't taste good because it's, in a way, it's not real. It's artificially being produced. It's like a package. You know, you look at these waxed fruit and vegetables. It's great packaging, but what's in it? Mm-hmm. And the answer is a lot of times not much unless you buy organic. Mm-hmm. So kind of a new mantra I'm doing with the site is, as a consumer, you know, doctors have their oath of do no harm. And as a consumer, I think we should do the same thing. As we shop, that should be our first thing we think about. Am I doing harm as I spend these dollars for this thing? Do I really need it? And what kind of harm am I doing? Because an acronym that I use in the book and on the site is, are you a WMD? Meaning, are you a weapon of mass destruction? When you look at over your lifetime what you've spent your money on, you have to consider, how much biomass have I destroyed? How many people in third world countries could I have, you know, fed had I done things slightly differently? Are, you know, is your consumer habits, are they leading to mass destruction? And if you look at what the average American consumer does with their money, the answer to that question is largely yes. But this has to be a worldwide consumer issue, not just for the United States citizens, because China and India are now coming online with that same consumer sickness that we've unfortunately exported. Mm-hmm. So this has got to be a worldwide decision.
You know, I got a kick. You mentioned China and India, and I got something across the internet the other day, you know, something that somebody sent me about plastic bags, and, you know, what they do to the environment is really something else. But apparently China and India have already banned the plastic bag. And I'm thinking, well, what kind of world or what kind of country do we live in? Now, I don't know. I could have been disinformation too, but I know, like, you know, maybe 6 months ago that in Denmark they banned plastic bags. And of course the people are just doing fine without them. And this is just such a gigantic problem. Like our oceans, you know, our beaches are made up mostly of plastic now, apparently.
Yeah. Which all gets its start in petroleum, which is kind of the death knell for the planet. Yeah. You know, we're going around wanting to drill more to drag more oil out of the planet to put it, you know, back into the atmosphere. You know, besides the internal combustion engine, can you name anything else that you use on a day-to-day basis that's 100 plus years old technology? Mm. We have this delusion that we're going to, you know, figure out a way to make the internal combustion engine not exhaust poison. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's not going to happen.
I was going to say that maybe the space shuttle, I don't know, that's that old. But true, you know, I kind of believe all those same things. It's just like, you know, people like, oh, they're worried about the gas price. But the reality is if you ever pick up a couple of cans of gas, like if you had to carry 10 gallons of gas around, you couldn't hardly walk with it. And the reality is we put it in our car every day and we burn it up. It doesn't disappear. I mean, that weight, it just goes right up into the atmosphere. And it's just really, I guess, global climate disruption is the word. But it's certainly, it's going to come back to haunt us. It's just bad karma.
Yeah, it already is haunting us. I mean, I always ask as I watch the nightly news, how bad does it have to get before people run into the streets and say, okay, we got to change now, enough?
Well, it's really kind of getting that bad. And I know a lot of Americans out there today and a lot of people in our area, a lot of people are listening to the program are really, you know, like they got houses they can't pay for. They're losing their jobs, you know. Everything's going up and really people are looking for answers. And I don't know, it just seems like it's kind of simple to me, but then I'm not in that situation. And it's just so hard for me to try to rationalize those, you know, kind of things and you know, try to talk to somebody that has all these problems. And, you know, it's really mind boggling.
Yeah, because it really is, you know, it's difficult to even do the simple thing of buy organic when you're shopping for food in this day and age, because the average American consumer is struggling. Mm-hmm. And that's where I come back to the point of our government has to be investing in these technologies that will make, because we can talk all we want about solar energy and hydrogen fuel cells, but unless it's a technology that the consumer can afford and that can pay for itself within a reasonable amount of time, then the point is moot. We, you know, it doesn't make a difference if the if it's not a usable technology. If solar can't deliver energy at a you know, efficiently at a cost, it, you know, at least on par with petroleum and the technologies that are out there now, then, you know, consumers can't do it. But if we throw our money into making those technologies, the getting them to the point where they are affordable, it's a done deal, and we're no longer having to, you know, to pollute the planet.
And I think that's like California is so far ahead of us in the incentive programs they have for things like solar. It's just, you know, really like Florida, we just struggle with that $4 a watt. And California has been doing this like for 10 or 20 years, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, which, you know, like you go, oh, man, he's just some movie star or whatever. And he's got this million home initiative. In California, you get solar power on all the homes.
Yes.
You know, and they have the strictest air quality standards in the nation. You know, they're really a leader. And it just seems like, well, there it is. You know, this is how we do this. And it's just funny.
Because Arnold, he knows he had to fight the Terminator. He had to fight the robots. He doesn't want to have to do that again.
Okay, Rob.
Hey, we were talking with Eric Haas, who is the founder of a website called ConsciousConsumer.net, and he's also the author of a book called Apocalypse Near, and he lives right here in the Bay Area. Our phone number is 813-239-9663, our email address dj@wmnf.org. I'm still hung up on this question of products. So what's the worst thing in your mind that people buy every day, where the people don't even think about but contributes to a downfall of the environment?
There's so many unnecessary things that people are consuming out there. That's really hard to say.
What was the last thing you were aghast at? The last thing you saw somebody buying, you said, oh man, why'd they buy that?
You know, I gotta say, just the overall use of SUVs on the road I find highly disturbing. And you know what really bothers me? NASCAR. I mean, I kind of liken it that to like looking at, you know, the Romans at the point of their fall when they're in the Coliseum watching.
Like going around in circles for 200 miles.
We got the most popular American sport is people sitting there watching cars go around in a circle, burning leaded gasoline, mind you, while we're halfway across the planet fighting over oil.
Some of those cars don't use these new fuels, these non-oil-based fuels.
Well, you know, ethanol, some of them. Yeah, but ethanol is another. It's one of those things where, okay, yeah, it burns cleaner, but we're burning our food supply when we got a lot of the rest of the world starving. So it's one of those choices where I think there's better choices, but it's moving in a good direction, but not all the problems have been solved in that direction yet.
All right, we're going to go to the phones. Our phone number is 813-239-9663. We're beginning to get some emails, too. Eric's website is consciousconsumers.net.
That's it.
Okay. 813-239-9663. Caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Robert from Tampa.
Hi, Robert.
Hi. I saw the T. Boone Pickens piece the other day where he's saying that we ought to take natural gas and run cars on it. And then I went to look and see that there are natural gas cars running and that there are people building natural gas. And then I went to look to see what the infrastructure here is like so that we could get natural gas to run our new natural gas car on, aside from the Honda one that you put in your garage and run off your natural gas if you have natural gas at your house, which seems like a natural for you to get started, but it limits your range if you can't get to a filling station. Do you know about the future of the natural gas infrastructure for Tampa?
That's a conscious consumer right there. Way to go, Rob, because you're looking into these things. And
I want to be a patriotic soldier in the war on energy independence.
Yeah,
and
that's
I can't
what
wait
it is.
Till I have my electric car.
Good for you, because, you know, saving power is patriotic. Absolutely. So, but that is the big problem with the automobile industry right now in this country is infrastructure, because when it comes to the technologies like natural gas and hydrogen, it's, you know, several billion dollars to change to a hydrogen fueling station system. But, you know, we're spending billions of dollars, you know, halfway around the world right now. You know, this is the country that went to the moon in 10 years when, you know, most said it could not be done. We could switch to a hydrogen infrastructure, I mean, in under a decade if we just – the leadership's not there. That's the problem, yes, because natural gas is a cleaner, better way to do it, but still fossil fuel. You're still exhausting a certain level of poisons. I more support hydrogen, but the big problem is the producing hydrogen at a cost-effective means and replacing every gas fueling station with a hydrogen fueling station. Mm-hmm. That's a big project, but we can do it. We've got the money. We don't have the leadership.
I see. Are you also aware, is there a local electric vehicle club?
Let's start one.
Well, yes, Stu, and you may be the man to do it because you've got the podium. But if in searching for electrical vehicles, there are people building their own, it's not that expensive in around the $5,000 zone. And you can, again, it's using fossil fuel to do the car, but it does give us independence from imported oil.
Yeah, and they charge up on about $1 a night to charge up some of these new electric cars that are out there, and they have like a range of about 120 miles for $1.
There's electric cars coming, but I'm talking about build your own. There are people doing that, and it's out there.
Yeah, I got a buddy that's doing it, actually.
Here in Tampa?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is he on your website?
He should be. That's my next story.
All right. So Robert, check in with
cool.
Eric's website.
Thanks, very much,
thanks a
Eric.
Lot.
Thank you.
And I think, you know, I'm sure some of our listeners, too, are in touch with local people building electric cars. So one of them, if you're out there, give us a call at 813-239-9663. And Bev, well, go ahead. I'm sorry,
John. Well, all I was going to say, it's the Zen is electric car. It's been kind of showcased at some of the E-Fest, and if they just Google that, and there's a dealer in the Tampa Bay area. Of course, I think it only goes like 25 miles an hour, but it I don't know, it's a start. And I today drove my electric truck to the bus stop about 13 miles, and I'll drive it back home when I get off the bus.
And you did you do the conversion yourself?
No, I bought it's a kit car that was converted in the 90s, and I bought it secondhand and put a set of batteries in it, and I've been driving it off and on for about 6 or 7 years. And, you know, it's definitely kind of caveman technology in that you're starting with a gasoline car and pulling the motor out and putting an electric motor in there, and there's a lot of things, just like you're braking. Most cars have, you know, power brakes, which are run off the vacuum from an internal combustion engine. But, you know, the technology's been around, and there's a group called Electro Automotive, and if you go to their, you know, Google their website, they have all the car clubs, electric car clubs in the United States.
All right, let's go to another phone call. Maybe this is our electric car person, too. Caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, my name is Edie, and I'm calling from Tampa.
Hi, Edie.
Hey, and I'm calling because I love to shop. I love to buy. But let me tell you, I have never walked into a Walmart, and the mall won't do, and I won't buy anything made out of plastic.
Good for you.
So you're wondering, where do I shop?
Yeah.
I shop it at the flea market.
Amen.
I bought a 100-year-old hand press there last week. I bought gemstones there this week. They have it all, and you don't have to pay hardly anything. And then you're only buying used goods, so there's no taxes. And every that you spend goes to a local person.
That's a great suggestion.
All right, Edie, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
All right. You can also buy used clothing stores, too.
Yeah. The Sunday morning programs, talk shows. I guess it was last week that the lady called in about food co-ops and how she was feeding like 40 or 50 people on $30 or $40, and that they were buying in bulk, splitting it up, and then they had access, you know, and it's just like suggestions like that I really like.
Here's an email from Bev. Bev says, I bet Eric has a lot to say about the need for public transportation, so she wants to hear you talk about it. She also says, if you have time, I'd love to hear more about his music career. I'm a huge fan of Eric's. He's one of the most creative and energetic and genuine people people I know. And then he says, I just got back from the land of NASCAR in the Midwest. There's a talk radio show out of Nashville dedicated to NASCAR racing.
I'm sure there is.
One whole radio station. So let's start with public transportation.
Yeah, I've become a consumer of public transportation because after my brain aneurysm, I was left near legally blind. So, yeah, now I use public transportation, you know, and it's also become the thing to do for a lot more people just because of the price of gasoline. So I've watched the buses become pretty crowded over the last couple of years since I've been using it.
Mm-hmm. And what about your music career?
Yeah, I'm a recovering musician, and I can still do it, but I'm really putting my energy into getting this film made and getting this book out there, because I feel like with my music, I've gotten a lot of attention for being the equivalent of kind of like the wind-up monkey banging the cymbals together, and I don't see why that's a big deal, but, you know, what I'm trying to do is, you know, crazy guy trying to save the planet.
What's your instrument? What do you play?
I'm a drummer.
Okay. Looks like a drummer.
Come on, you don't have to be so downbeat about it.
Hey, I think we got our heart underwriting in there. Thank you.
All right.
The bus is good. Real people ride the bus.
Let's take another phone call. Caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Caller, welcome to the program. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
This is Russ from Gibsonton.
Hi, Russ.
I got a suggestion for our government here in Florida. Being as how we have unemployment problems and all this, instead of taking the $18 billion or whatever it is they're going to do for nuclear, why not take that, invest some of it in our universities, and develop the technology that we need, like LED lights, electric cars, and then have the state manufacture those, and that way we're creating jobs, and we're doing something green for the state and for the world. I don't understand why anybody wants to spend billions of dollars on nuclear technology.
Well, the Public Service Commission is going to vote on that tomorrow. So have you called your Public Service Commission?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
Exactly, yeah. Write that up in a letter and send it to your congressman, because that's democracy in action right there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, regular incandescent lights and fluorescents are the last of the tube technology in the whole world. Why haven't we gone to LEDs?
Yeah, LEDs are the way. They're cool. They're clean light. I'm a filmmaker, so I'm planning on lighting the apocalypse near, you know, this film with LED lighting, because it's clean, efficient. And if anybody's ever been on a film set out there, you know, with the quartz lamps, it gets hot.
Oh, yeah. There's
and every household, you know, every incredible American household is, you know, powered mostly, you know, lit by, the incandescent light bulb, you know, Thomas Edison's light bulb, that thing, which throws a tremendous amount of heat, which is part of why it's so inefficient. So in Florida, where we have this, you know, this tremendous heat source called the sun, and, you know, our latitude and longitude keeps us quite warm. And then we've got incandescent lighting in our house, so we're fighting ourselves, you know, to light our homes while we're heating our homes in summer. And the LED is just, it's cool, it's a clean light, and it uses a fraction of the power.
Right on.
All right, Russ, thanks a lot.
You bet.
Let's take another phone call. Caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Yeah, this is Dave from St. Petersburg.
Hi, Dave.
Interesting note, though, one of the previous callers mentioned T. Boone Pickens, and there was a tiny article in the New York Times a couple of weeks ago that mentioned something that T. Boone Pickens did not mention in this article, and that is that he has purchased an enormous amount of land in Texas, and he personally now owns one of the largest freshwater aquifers in the world, and he is pretty soon going to begin selling water to Dallas.
And whoa.
It's a trend which I'm very concerned about, and that is the privatization of water. Water should be a public-owned resource, and so that kind of like the dark side of T. Boone Pickens. But I just wanted to get over to water as a consumer item and ask Eric what his ideas are on water.
I got a few ideas on this, because I grew up in a place where I could run out in my backyard and drink from a stream. Like, you know, we had well water. Mm-hmm. Water was clean, pure.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote a little piece on the site about the privatization of water. There was a book out on that subject a few I guess in the mid-90s, called Blue Gold, which is about what you're talking about. And that is the dark side of Mr. Pickens there that I didn't know about. And that is frightening because these corporations are buying up the planet's fresh water supply. And they're, you know, so it's like the same ones that polluted it are now buying it up, owning it, and selling it back to you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like they beat the pants off you. Now they're selling you pants. And I think that's criminal. And that's one of the things I talk about in the drama in my book is, you know, I recreated the American Declaration of Independence as the Declaration of Interdependence because we are interdependent biological entities. And we have what I call unalterable rights that among them are fresh air, fresh water, fresh oxygen. So they're selling us water now. Get ready, consumer. The air is next.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thanks a lot.
All right, Dave. Thanks a lot. Good to hear from you. 813-239-9663. We're talking with Eric Haas, the founder of ConsciousConsumers.net. And caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from? Caller?
Hello, is this me?
It is you. What's your name?
My name is Mark. I'm from Dunedin.
Hi, Mark.
I just want to make a comment in regard to why would the would we want to spend billions of dollars on nuclear power when we could put the money to better use? And, of course, it's not us that's spending the money. It's our government that's spending the money. And I could be wrong, but I was in the nuclear industry years ago, kind of as a watchdog person, you know, just checking the paperwork, making sure everything was okay. And I think that one of the big companies that's involved in nuclear power is Brown and Root. And I think that if they're not based in Texas, they have a strong foothold in Texas. So I think the reason they want to spend billions of dollars, again, it's awarding contracts to the good old boys.
Frightening.
Yeah, you know, Mark, the part of the deal, part of what Progress Energy wants is they want to charge consumers up front for the cost of construction of the nuclear power plant and then not give you any of the profits that that plant may make down the road. So you're right, the government does gives a lot of guarantees to the nuclear industry in the form of insurance and other things. But one of the big things that government does is it looks like the Public Service Commission, unless they hear from a lot of people today, is going to force the public to pay for the construction of this plant ahead of time, before it's even built, before you even get the benefit of it.
Well, doesn't sound like good business to me.
Well, it's good business for somebody, just not us.
that's correct. That's correct.
All right, well, Mark.
I guess we better get on the horn and let the powers that be know how we feel.
All right. Thanks,
yeah.
Mark. Thanks. 813-239-9663.
I mean, because that sounds like insanity to me because, you know, nuclear power plants have this byproduct called nuclear waste that has half-lives of, you know, hundreds of thousands of years. And we're already having a huge national debate about what we're going to do with our current nuclear waste, like bury it in the mountain. And the latest plan is actually to put it on top of a rocket and shoot it into space. People. Rockets explode. We're worried about a dirty bomb coming into this country where we're talking about putting nuclear waste on top of a rocket ship and shooting it into space.
Hey, I got a real good idea. We'll put it on a bullet and shoot it at somebody in the Middle East.
Yeah, we're doing that.
All right, we got an email here from Dewey, and I guess this is a question for you, Eric. What is the most important thing a household can do? Question, should money and time go to solar panels or a garden or hybrid cars? With limited funds, what is the first and most important task?
I try to lay some of that out on my website because that's the thing is there's a lot of things being presented, and this is also part of our consumer culture, is like throwing everything that, you know, the green movement is now chic. But as a consumer, you've got to do the math. You got to look at, okay, here's what I can afford to lay out. Where can I best spend my dollars, you know, that's going to, you know, be something good for the environment, but that can also pay me back? Because, like, I could say something like, oh, you can get a Prius, but that would be bad advice because unless you're a millionaire, by the way, because then you can do it because you're altruistic, because it is a good technology as far as saving you gas. But the cost of the car is at such a premium that for you to pay for that car, you know, for you to get the savings that you're getting in gas over the cost of the car, it just doesn't add up for the average blue collar, you know, consumer out there. So there's, you know, there's things like replacing your fluorescents in your house, you know, going from incandescent to fluorescent. And there are LED bulbs out there now, but they're priced at a premium. But, you know, supply and demand, if people start buying them, the prices will drop. So I would look into LED for lighting, although it may be cost prohibitive. Definitely look at, you know, compact fluorescents because, you know, you get 100 watts of luminance from, you know, 24-watt bulb. That's, you know, a quarter of the usage. So
you sure to dispose of them safely?
Yes, because they do contain mercury. So once again, LED is a better technology. It is, and it is out there, but right now it's a little cost prohibitive.
John in St. Pete, we still haven't had that answer yet, by the way, to a local electric car club. But John in St. Pete writes, you know, electric bikes go 20 to 25 miles per hour and cost 50 cents a day. Could you send me any info you have on any Southern Pinellas people dealing in repairs for the kit electric bikes? All right. Well, John, if we find that information, we will send it along to you. Let's take another phone call. Caller, you're on the air. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hello, Rob. Eric, this is John Russell, running for Congress in District 5. And I've been listening to your conversation, and there's a lot of good information being relayed here. My position, you know, this Progress Power Project is the wrong direction to go. We need to take that same money and invested into decentralized power generation. The technology is there, as you know, Eric and some of your other callers are alluding to. What we're talking about with that project is socialization of risk and privatization of profit. And this is common in our economy. The drive is to centralize everything or centralize everything. And when you talk about electric cars, I'd encourage people to go to a website called Aptera. They have a car that's you can put an order in right now for $500. That will is a car purpose built using like Formula One racing technology. It gives 230 miles a gallon and. Is looks kind of like an airplane. It's registered as a motorcycle. I don't know when they're talking about delivering this, but it was designed to be built in mass production, and they have a assigned price, I think, right now about $28,000. So,
John, what's that website again?
Aptera.com. Aptera.com. Now, if you got a computer, you can probably dial it up right now.
Aptera.
Yeah, okay. And, you know, that's one angle. But the first order of salvation in our energy problem is conservation. And that's the role of government, is to drive the marketplace in the right direction. And that's where, you know, federal incentives towards companies that are purposefully going in the direction of, you know, the LED commercialization of the technology that's readily available right now. I'll hang up, and, you know, of course, you'd know I'd have a lot more to say generally, but I think those are a couple of good points for people to consider, especially when we're looking at the 2008 election. You know, we want a progressive president, but we're going to need a progressive Congress to move through a lot of these positions on the issues that we all want. And to happen in this country. Thanks
all right.
A lot. I appreciate
all right, John,
it.
Thanks a lot. Eric, we're almost out of time. People are asking about your website.
Yeah, well, go to www.consciousconsumers.net. I'm actually going to be switching it all over to a blog format in the next few days so that you can get involved. I was running some forums, but they were getting overrun by spammers, so I took them down. So we're going to go to blog format so that everybody can get involved in sharing solutions, because the environmental movement has been pretty good historically at pointing out problems, but we got to give people solutions.
And can people call you too?
I think I took my number down because I was getting a lot of good calls.
We want you to get only positive feedback, or at least good questions, good tough questions.
Yeah, they can email me.
Send an email to your website.
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Okay, Rob and Eric, thank you so much for coming in. And the question about the electric bike, I bought an electric bike in Tampa a couple of years back. I really didn't get a lot of good service out of the person that I bought the bike from. It's kind of like one of those long stories, but I did kind of continue in the warranty of people, and I got the bike all straightened out, and it's really neat. It's a lot of fun to ride, and I noticed that the local flea market has electric bikes, and I think that you just do a little searching around. Most bike shops are considering selling electric bikes, and I think it's just a matter of, you know, contacting whoever you trade with in your bicycle store, and they can get you one.
All right. Well, John, we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Yes, sir.
And we've been talking with Eric Haas, who is the founder of ConsciousConsumers.net and also the author of the book Apocalypse Near. Where can people find that book, Eric?
It's on Amazon, and there's links to it from my website.
All right, great. Well, thanks, Eric.
Thank you.
See you in 2 weeks. John, do you have time to stick around for phone calls?
Sure.
Okay.
Till the bus comes.
All right. So if you want to talk with John Butts directly, you can give us a call at 813-238-8001. Thanks a lot for listening. This is WMNF Tampa. The Blues is coming up in just a moment with Cheryl Mogul.